Country roads make me woke. Hit my vape, play on my phone. Changing genders, love Obama. Make me woke, oh country roads. Thank you.
Welcome to Totalis Jeffian. This week, Jeff.
Hi, I'm Elsa Torek, and with me is...
Bailey, and we are ranking all of the Jeffs from Jeff 1 to Jeff 35. This week, Jeff the Younger and Jeff the Youngest.
Double feature.
I guess that's like the first thing we should focus on. Because Totalis Rankium does an episode per person, even if that person is like Quintilis and dies immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
but I feel like for the Jeffs in particular,
there's not.
Like, we literally run into a guy who unfortunately will be getting his own episode because there's nobody around him.
Oh.
And his name is literally Jeff the Unknown because we only have one passage from him, and that is him having a child.
Unknown J.
Yeah, but we're going to go into like a massive thing that happens. So yeah, that's fine. So that's why we're going to be doing this double
feature.
Every time we get like two Jeffs, or sometimes three, we'll be doing them in one episode if they don't have numbers on them. First I want to show you the women, the Jeff women, because they're gone. That's it. We have no more women in Roman history.
Right, so I just have to get through these ones?
Yeah, it's okay. So this is Jeffina, the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sister of Jeff 2 and 3.
Yes,
but this is not the one who started our dynasty. That's the one who's starting 8.
Okay.
So next week, this is her great-great-great-grandson.
Yes, yes.
And then this is Jeffia the Elder.
That's who we follow, or
that's,
whose dynasty
that's Jeff 4's mom.
Yes.
Right? And then this is the person who might have started the 4th Venice dynasty. Like it ties back to her.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Jeff 6's daughter.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah. And it's nice. I got them all into one picture because, come on.
It's going to help.
I'm not spending money on more than one picture of a woman, you know? It got me messed up. For the conservatives' sake.
No, for conservatives are being serious. No, kidding for everybody else's.
All right. Now let's get started. Jeff the Younger.
All right.
Born in 286. AD in Trier. Remember where Trier is?
No.
It's the capital of Gaul right now.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that's where they're staying. The Gallic Empire's capital was Trier.
Okay.
And then Maximian.
Gaul, Gallic, is that anything?
That's how they got it.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Because that's where the Gallic people lived.
Gotcha.
Or the Gaelic people, as you like to say it. Yeah. He grew up at some point. Yes.
Probably from the years of 286 to 302.
You're getting a little far there. Yeah, you're getting a little too far there.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah. They become a man when they're like 12 or something.
Well, we just have to assume he had a peaceful childhood. Because his father was in Trier the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is when they were planning on fighting.
A Jeff who has his dad around.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. This never happens.
Yeah, it happened like for Jeff 2.
Briefly. No, he died when Jeff 2. Jeff 2's dad died when he was 6 years old.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's second place.
And but we do know that he grew up to be pompous and arrogant.
Oh.
Which is something we haven't really seen much of.
He was pampered as a child.
And he definitely would use his family name in future to get power. Right? Like,
fair enough.
Yeah, 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 you have it. Use it, I guess. Now,
Q's succession theme.
We don't hear about him until around 295.
Okay.
So he's about 9 years old now. When the family moved out of Trier. Exactly, yeah. And they headed to the city of Salonia. Because who's there? Jeff 6.
Oh, okay.
He's still alive with his 80 concubines.
Yeah.
Right? And so he meets his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brief visit. And eventually they head back through Gaul, down to Spain and Africa, where this is where Maximian and Jeff 7 are fighting the Moors and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff was 9, 10. He's not taking part in any of this.
So he's a coward.
Yeah, he's a coward.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually they continue till they get to the city of Carthage. About 2 years later, Jeff got news that he now had a brother. He was an older brother.
There you go.
Yeah. Look at that. See, now he has someone to be an example for, right? Jeff was annoyed by this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was quite upset that he now had to share his inheritance. So, at the age of 12, he decided, I'm out of here.
Jeff being 12 and leaving home, name a more iconic duo.
Yeah. And, he left at a very astute time. Mm-hmm. Because this is when Jeff 7 and Maximian were in the desert fighting. Right? They were fighting the Berbers. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's a barbarian.
Yeah. Berbarian.
It's where Burberry comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's descendant.
Exactly.
What's all this clothing brand?
So he ran away. Well, he sailed away. Because if you're in Carthage and you're trying to get to Rome, because that's where he's trying to get to, you can't walk it.
Got
to
go by boat.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jeff
arrived alone around 299 at the Jeff family estate outside of Rome. This is the same estate where Jeff 3 died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They still own the property. All the major cities, Salonia, Trier, Carthage, Rome, because of the works of Jeff 5 and 6, they have
like property.
Property
and stuff
in
there.
All those areas.
I may have missed it, but this Jeff the Younger, who's he the child of?
Jeff 7.
Okay.
Remember, because Jeff 7 has two children, and he was very happy that his dynasty was going to continue for a long time.
Gotcha, yes, yeah. Yes.
We'll see what happens.
Yes, there's two this episode.
Well,
so,
we've already covered this Jeff's whole life in Jeff 7's life.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah.
So he arrived around 299 and immediately started yelling at some servants that were there.
Okay.
What
is he, 13?
He's about 13, 14. 2 years passed since he was 12. So he was about 14, about to turn 15, right? And he yelled at the servants and ordered that word be sent to the Senate, that they all come meet him. No one came.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
But that makes him kind of cool.
But Jeff, he's still rich, right? And he's alone in Rome. Like, he's the head of the family in Rome, right? He would argue. He's the only one, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So he started making friends and causing trouble. He got word in 301 that his father is back in Italy, but headed to Milan instead of Rome, because Milan was the capital of the area at the time.
Okay.
We're at a stage where Rome is becoming more and more forgotten.
Gotcha.
Right? You'll notice that since Jeff 5, we haven't really talked about Rome too much.
Yeah, not a whole ton.
Right? And that's going to continue. Like, the glory days of us spending all our time in Rome are pretty much over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff the Younger doesn't think that should be, so he's going to make Rome great again. He's going to bring Rome back.
Let's go.
Public eye.
All right.
He's going to, it's going to be brilliant.
He's dreaming big. What can you say?
Yeah. Around 305, so he's about 20 years old now, about 19, 20, right? Jeff heard that Maximian was abdicating. And that, so he began to hang out around Maxentius.
Oh, okay.
Maximian's son.
Yeah, yeah.
Maxentius didn't really notice Jeff, but Jeff started, acting cool, around Maxentius, right? Like,
he was just freestyling.
He'd see Maxentius walk down the streets of Rome, and he'd be like...
My name is Jeff,
what's up, Maxentius?
Yo, what's up, M-Bug?
What's up? And Maxentius would just look at him and look away, and Jeff would be like, yeah, I'll see you later. Yeah. Cool.
No, we
all
know.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you, my people, okay, cool.
My concubines talk to your concubines.
Yeah, exactly. All of my concubines, right? around 306, Jeff had enough. He realized, you know what, I'm just kind of too cool for Maxentius. All right, so I'm going to go and join the army. But first... Hey, friends, want to play with this goat?
All
right.
Oh, no. Oh, it's all come rushing back.
Yeah. So, at this time, he heard that Maxentius and Maximian have have reconvened together. This is when Maximian comes out of retirement to become emperor again.
Okay.
Because at this point...
I know, I was trying to place like roughly where we are, but no, I got
it. Well, Constantius, the Augustus of the West, just died, and Constantine declared himself emperor.
Yes, okay.
Right? And so out of retaliation, Maxentius, jealous of Constantine, also declared himself emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is when the whole thing between Jeff 7, he's like making Severus's army defect and everything, and he's all cool and badass.
Yeah.
Let's see what his son's
actually
doing
things. Let's find out, you know? All apple can't fall far from the tree.
Exactly. So Jeff and his friends, they get this goat, all right? You can name the goat. What do you want the goat's name to be?
Jeff.
Okay, so he named the goat Jeff. And they brought the goat to the docks because they were planning on sacrificing the goat. As good fortune.
As you do.
Good fortune for the war,
doing
right?
He's doing what's best.
Exactly. And they saw an old winch.
Mm.
Now, you know exactly what a winch is?
Yeah, it's a pole. Yeah, it's like a pulley system.
I got a picture of what, like...
Ah, you're prepared.
Yeah. Cause
with the crank. Yeah,
crank, right? And then it's also, but it's... This winch that they're using, you have to keep swinging it, and if you let go, it'll swing back.
Yes,
left,
right?
Which I'm actually not sure if that's how a winch works in real life, but it does in our story, right? So what they planned on doing was they got the goat at the end of the dock, and the winch at this side, and they wheeled the rope out, you know, and there was a hook on the end of the rope,
yes.
And so Jeff was holding the hook, and he was going to put it onto the goat's collar that he has, and then let it go, and the goat was gonna fling back and whip around and get all destroyed by this winch,
get all mangled,
and then they would be like, yes, here, Jupiter, how do you like my sacrifice?
Hallelujah.
Right,
praise be.
Yeah. And then Jeff's friend, you want to name him Jeff's friend? Can't be Jeff.
Fuck. Joseph.
Joseph. Okay, so Joseph was going to be the one in charge of wheeling the winch out while Jeff went out with and hooked it around the goat's collar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Jeff started talking to another friend of his. We'll just say it's Joseph again. We'll say two Josephs.
All right.
Yeah. And
they were called the Triple J's.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the rap group.
Yeah, exactly. And so he talked to Joseph too, and it was like, "Hey, yeah, no, this is gonna be so."
That's our next podcast.
This is gonna be so sick. Yeah, just this Joseph character is gonna be in our podcast. What Jeff is in theirs. And so it's cruel, to be fair, what they're about to do. Like, this is.
Yeah,
if this happened nowadays,
sacrifice.
You'd be under like the scope of being a serial killer, probably, right?
Yeah, I feel like most things that happened in Rome would be under the scope of being a serial killer.
Yeah. But as Jeff was talking to Joseph too, Joseph 1 had to tie his shoe.
Were shoelaces invented?
They were invented so that Joseph could tie his shoe.
The originator.
Exactly. Well, then they went out of fashion for a while because of this incident, right? They realized how dangerous shoelaces are.
Fair. I agree.
Exactly.
They should go out of fashion again.
Velcro is so much easier.
Yeah, or just slip on.
Or Velcro. That's the inside of the Velcro.
Ah.
I made that up.
I believe it.
So
it's like Green Dennis.
Joseph let go of... It's like Green Dennis. Yeah, it is.
Except that one's real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. And so Joseph lets go of the handle of the winch and goes and ties his shoes. And comedically, it doesn't move until Jeff looks over.
Looks over to us.
Well, it would be fine. Obviously, all you do is let go.
Yeah.
Right? But... Unfortunately for Jeff, it got flung back and wrapped around his leather sash that he had around his, and it
he was
fully
trying to be
yanked
too drippy.
Him. Oh yeah, and it fully yanked him and flung him towards the winch, where his body crashed into it and started ripping itself apart as he spun around the winch.
And then Joseph and the goat said, "Praise."
Well, now they're
the Jupiter.
Double J's. Now they're the double J's.
Double J and G.
Yes. The remnants of his body flung in every direction.
No, they'd still be the triple J's. They don't even have to change the names.
Oh, yeah, because the goat's name is Jeff. Yes, it is. So, at the age of 20 in 306, Jeff the Younger dies.
I feel like he's not getting many points.
And we have to rank him now. So we're going to rank him right now, and then that way
can
just, yeah, more editing for you, because you're going to have to put it at this part. Fine. But it's fine. Perfect. All right. Fightus Japanus.
Well, all right,
well, let's talk about good. Okay,
now let's talk about bad. Yep.
He did not fight at all.
Yeah.
Like, you could argue he fought against that the winch.
Yeah.
Which he lost.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a zero.
Yeah, like, unless there's, like, unless there's a Jeff who, like, dies.
Wait, hear me out. He did plan on joining the army. He did have it. He wanted to fight. He wanted to fight.
He had that gusto.
He had the gusto. But I think couldn't
execute.
No.
In multiple meanings of the word.
It's a zero.
I was going to say, like, unless there's a Jeff who's, like, just dies at childbirth.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a zero.
Okay, next. Proprium
idiom.
Now.
Hold on.
He decided to try and execute a goat using a winch.
Yeah.
That is pretty freaking stupid.
And I think more pressing, he fucked it up.
He did.
Royally.
And it led to his death. His stupidity led to his death.
I think it'd be really funny to give him a 10, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think he definitely deserves points here.
Yeah, yeah.
How
many is another question.
Well, like, Jeff, too, got 0 in this round. Because all he did was free his family from slavery. And die.
Like a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Do something funny.
Exactly.
Two, three.
You go three, I go two?
Sure. Sounds good.
Cool. Successes Jeffius.
I mean.
Now, we have had a rule that if they don't make it worse for their family, they get points. But.
I would argue. You could say that makes it a bit worse.
Yeah. I would say it didn't get worse, but it wasn't because of him. It wasn't him not making it worse. It was him just being so incompetent he didn't have a chance to do anything. So I don't think we can give him... I can give him a 1,
yeah.
But that's all I'd be willing to.
No, I'll throw a 1.5 on there.
Okay, and if you go 1.5, I'll go 0.
All right.
So it's a 1.5 for just existing.
There you go.
Okay, Tempest Aegio. So he is our youngest Jeff now to have died.
Mm-hmm.
Because he died at 20. So it's just 20 divided by... Is it 20? Or is it 100?
We'll do 100.
Oh, it's 20. It's 20.
Yeah,
it's 20. So, he gets a round point. and then Deficus Jefficus. Now,
hold on. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty fucking good.
It's pretty unique.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah. I'm... Okay, so it was a total accident, which makes it so much funnier.
Cool.
Yeah. It was a total accident, which makes it so much funnier. But,
Yeah.
Honestly,
like, it's a pretty good death.
Yeah, I have to admit, this is probably one of my favorites, just because of how stupid it is. I'm thinking 7 or 8 for me, personally.
Yeah.
That's where he's picking up. Imagine picking up most of your points in the round that only gets you up to 5 points at most.
Yeah, no, I think I could rock with, like, a 7.
Yeah, okay, 7, 14 divided by 4. 3.5, which actually puts him in third for deaths, which I get it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
No, yeah, no, that is a good amount right there.
It's pretty solid, honestly.
So, let me use some real mental math here to add this score together.
All right, you can do this one.
We do, in fact, have a score.
A score of higher than nothing.
Okay, so 7.5 plus 3.5 That's going to be about 10.
11?
Is it 11?
7.5 plus 3.5.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is 11.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a score of 11.
There you go.
There we go.
Ooh, you know it doesn't...
what that means. Jeff 2's not in Jeff last place anymore. Last
place. I feel like we need to re-rank this one now.
What, Jeff 2?
No.
Re-rank him?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Jeff 10. 2 has to be in.
Yeah. No, okay. So, obviously that only leaves us with one question.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, he's obviously getting in.
Yeah, obviously. Exactly. That's a cool death. Yeah. Let's go.
No, that's our, I don't think the death's enough.
Yeah, no,
I don't think the death's enough, no.
Not quite.
I don't think he can make it to the arena without getting himself killed anyway. So, yeah, we are, after our 8th episode, we finally have our second person who is not going into the rounds. But I think we're going to have a lot more of these guys.
Coming up. Yeah, we had a nice streak there. We're going to have another nice streak.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll start the streak right now. Because we're obviously, well, actually, let me show you Jeff. Let me show you him, the man himself. That is.
He looks evil.
He does look evil. Does he look arrogant? Yeah. Yeah, no, if you think he looks evil, his brother looks a lot like Daryl Dixon. Yeah. So, what, yes or no, would you?
I'm shocked.
No. No. Yeah, no.
That guy's 20?
Yeah, I know. He kind of aged like fine wine, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what was it? Was it Jeff 5?
Or Jeff 6? Who looked like he was like, yeah.
Who looked like he was like 90? They age like really quickly.
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to Totalis JFN. This week, Jeff.
Now we are on to his younger brother, Jeff the youngest. Higher hopes or less hopes? What are you thinking?
I want to have higher hopes. I'm willing to believe. Just maybe he'll learn from his brother's hubris.
Yeah. Okay. Hell yeah. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
In the year 298 AD, in the city of Carthage. Look at that. We're having so much diversity. Ooh, Jeff 6. Was born in Rome, but Jeff 7 in Salonia. Younger in Trier, and this one in Carthage.
There we go.
This is, we're really diverse.
We're all around the empire.
Exactly. Been around the world, can't speak the language, you know? Because that booty don't need okay, anyway. Jason Derulo. All right. Like his brother, he probably grew up quite nicely. Because, again, this is a peaceful time. We're in the Tetrarchy era. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of wars. This is also when Diocletian was in charge.
Civil
war. It was just like everyone getting along.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, luckily, we are going to be finishing the Tetrarchy. Remember how I told you that it ended with that conundrum of Licinius being alive, Constantine, Maximinus Daya in the east, and Maxentius in Rome, and Galerius is really sick right now.
Yes.
But Galerius is the senior Augustus.
Yeah, bit of a cliffhanger.
And so we are going to pick it up in Jeff the Youngest story because he does actually get involved in some
of this.
So,
see, my high hopes were right.
Yes, they are.
Now, high hopes relative to his brother is still like 5 feet under instead of 6, but.
Despite growing up nicely, when he was 8 years old, he got news from his mother that his brother had died. Which, at 8 years old, it's old enough to understand.
It'll have an impact.
Yeah, it'll definitely leave a mark, and you'll definitely see your mother definitely in a distraught time, and
you'll feel that. You'll remember it.
So he was sad, and he did mourn with his mother.
Yeah.
And but his mother was beside herself in grief, and was constantly becoming more and more angry with her husband, Jeff 7. Yeah, see? Mm.
What was Jeff 7 doing?
Well, at this time, Jeff 7 was currently revolting with Maximian and Maxentius against Severus.
Revolting.
Yes.
I see.
Right? Exactly. And she started to tell Jeff that he should not aspire to be like his father, a traitor to Rome.
Be more like your brother.
Exactly. Well, more like your grandfather. Well, his grandfather was also a traitor to Rome at one point.
Or right? Like your great-grandfather.
Exactly.
Find a happy medium.
Yeah.
Be better.
Okay. But it was when Jeff was 12 years old that he got news that his father had been executed. Or 2 years later, he had news that his father had died in battle against Constantine.
Getting revenge for his lover.
Getting revenge for his lover. And
it's like, oh, Mom, you knew Constantine?
This is two major deaths in his life, and he's only 12, right? Which is pretty grim. I think that's quite a bit of death right away to have, right?
That'll change a person.
Yeah. Well, the previous year, Galerius dies in 311. Yeah. And he was the one thing kind of keeping everyone from, like, really killing each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And we have actually a source called Lactantius. And I'm not a big fan of Lactantius because, this is when the Christian bias is really kicking in. Mm. So everyone in this story is the bad guy except for Constantine, right? And Lactantius...
Well, yeah, because everyone in the story is the bad guy but Constantine.
Exactly. And see, Lactantius, he loved to explain the deaths of all these guys because he hated them all, right? So...
Oh, so it's like gory detail.
Yeah, like Galerius, I don't remember the full thing, but he had worms that died in his bowels and the stench could be smelt all around the city of
I see. The author's thinly veiled fetish.
Yeah, and then they also started eating at his skin and maggots started Galerius goes out and the last thing...
And then when you go to flip the page, it's all sticky on his writing.
Yeah. And the last thing that Galerius did, because he was the one, if you remember, who pushed the Christian persecution the most under Diocletian.
Yeah.
And he, in his last words, from some sources saying that he was trying to repent, legalized Christianity.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to be like, okay, well, it didn't work, so let's just allow them to practice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But... Obviously, most of this, you can't just credit him for it. Like, you should be arguing that Galerius should be Saint Galerius because he legalized Christianity. No, he did it last moment to...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And,
Trudeau should be Saint Trudeau because he legalized Christianity.
Yeah. So at this time, at this time, when Galerius died, Licinius, who at this time only had a little bit, because remember, if you remember, Licinius... He's supposed to have Italy and Africa, but Maxentius is in there usurping.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because
yes.
We had that whole... debacle? That whole, game show.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, Maximinus Daae, the Caesar of the East, Galerius Augustus of the East. And then Constantine...
What's his fuck?
Yeah, Constantine was the Caesar of the West, and then Licinius was supposed to be the Augustus of the West, right? But Maxentius is there... saying, nope, this is all my land, and he has the army, right? So there's not a lot Licinius can do, so he has a little part of the Danube right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when Galerius dies, it's a race, because Maximinus Daae is quite mad. As everyone was fighting, Maximinus Daae stood up and said, that's it, I'm Augustus, stomp foot.
Grr, angry.
And no one said anything. It's one of those things where if you declare yourself... Yeah, if you declare yourself emperor and no one's there to, and no one acknowledges it, are you emperor?
You're falling in a forest and there's nobody around. Exactly. Do you ever really declare yourself emperor or even make a sound?
Yeah, exactly. I think it'd be better if I just show you. So this is a broad view of the Roman Empire, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not what it looks like now. It looks slightly different, on this side, on the east and the west, right? But overall, this is what it looks like. Dacia is no longer there because Aurelian gave it up because he realized it was too hard to defend. Okay, so Maximinus Daae is in this area.
Yes.
Maxentius is in this area. In Illyricum is where Licinius is. But all of this land here... was Galerius's, right? So when he died, Maximinus Daae and...
Sorry, BibleStudy.org.
We are on BibleStudy.org right now. Well, it's Christian time. It's fine.
That's fair.
And
that's
Christians fair. Love Trigun.
Mm.
Yeah.
One guy carries a big cross, I'm pretty sure.
Yep. Yep. Well, all this writing is actually real. Like, on the map.
Mm.
Like, it's just big letters in the middle of a field.
Ah, I see.
Yes. Yes.
It's just an aerial shot.
Exactly. And so Licinius and Maximinus Daya rushed to capture all the land that Galerius had,
mm-hmm.
right? And it ended up their border being over there, at, like in the where, in the pass between Turkey and like the in Greece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the modern day kind of area is now, where Istanbul is, that's where the cutoff was between them, right? And so they hated each other, which worked because Constantine and Maxentius hated each other. So Licinius and Constantine decided to team up. And then, because of that, Maximinus Daya sent word to the usurper of the empire saying, hey, you want to team up? And if anyone wanted to stop and really think about it and how there's actually only four emperors right now, you guys could technically have the like the tetrarchy going on. None of them did.
Nah, we're good.
And so first, we will talk about Maxentius versus Constantine.
Okay.
Now, after, because we've already covered part of it.
Where's Jeff?
We'll get to that. This okay. is background okay. leading up to him.
I gotcha.
Because he's about to join the army, and this okay. is the army that he's about to be kind of the state of the empire.
I'm following. Okay.
I'm just catching us up to where he's going to be.
All good.
So in that... In 312, this is when Constantine defeated Jeff in the battle.
Mm.
So we've got to that point already. The next time they meet is at a place called the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. And this is one of the most famous battles in Roman history.
Okay.
Because before the battle, Constantine goes to bed.
Okay.
And Jesus appears to him in a dream.
Oh, it's just like George Bush.
Yeah. What? The George Bush, yeah. Jesus and George Bush.
Yes, yes.
Appeared to him in a dream.
I'm from the future.
And
just
in
as
the
Jesus
sky,
is going to tell you about war, he's going to tell me to invade it.
In the sky, there was a sign called the Cairo, which is the P with a like the S going through the bottom.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. It's an old Christian symbol, right?
Sure, yeah.
And or the P and the X, sorry. The P, and then there's an X going through the bottom part of the P.
I can picture what the symbol is. I'm not sure I've seen it.
I want to make sure if you've seen it. Cairo. Christina. Images. Have you ever seen that? It's the original, like,
maybe.
Christian. Before the cross was the.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
It's like. It evokes some memory, but I don't know if that memory is the Cairo or like a train crossing signal.
Jesus said in this dream to Constantine.
And Bush.
And Bush, in this sign, you will conquer. And I imagine in the clouds, this sign was in the clouds,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Constantine was like, man, what does that mean? You know, like, in this sign, you will conquer. And I imagine Jesus gets kind of annoyed at this point. Hey, paint this on your shield.
Yeah, put this on the...
You will win. You'll conquer. Come on, dude. It's not that hard. And Constantine's
like,
oh! It's
not a W.
Oh! And then George Bush was like, oh, man. Fool me.
Put
fool
that
me once.
On the guns.
Shame on me. Fool me. Can't be fooled again. And Jesus and Constantine look at him like, dude, what are you on about? And it gets real meta as they all look towards the camera, right? Yeah.
Won't get fooled.
And so Constantine
again.
Does. He wakes up and he tells all of his soldiers to paint that symbol on their cross.
Mm-hmm.
On their shields.
On their shield, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And their shields were crosses, it just so happens.
Yeah, exactly. It was really worth it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even have to draw it.
Double
it was
Christian.
Just, it was the shape of this. This was
they all woke up. And
this was the shape of their shield.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't very effective.
No.
But
Jesus, it looked cool.
That's what matters.
It was lucky for Constantine that Maxentius was a useless general.
Hey!
Because Maxentius decided to line his troops up against the river.
Okay.
Now, this has happened a few times. Alexander the Great did something like this. Mm. And whenever it works, that person is seen as a military mastermind and a genius.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it doesn't work, you're seen as an idiot.
Why the fuck did you do
Why
that?
Why the hell did you line up your troops against the water? Well, the whole thing is that, well, like, they won't retreat then, right? But the other side is Constantine just had to push back that line 1 or 2 feet before they were in the water, right?
No, it was all Jesus' fault. Well, Jesus is... The other J-Man.
The Milvian Bridge had been destroyed a few years earlier.
Was that... Was the Jesus Jeff? Is there any relation here?
No. Sadly not. Because Jesus is a Messiah. Sorry, Jesus is a Messiah and Jeff is a Messiah as well, but separate.
It's two different religions. Yeah. They can't...
Exactly. Jeffyism, which is what I subscribe to.
For $5 a month on Patreon.
Yeah. And... Maxentius decided to build a bridge, a pontoon bridge. Mm-hmm. So he got basically a bunch of milk crates and made a bridge out of it. And he was hoping that his army could, in the worst case scenario, retreat over this bridge. And while Constantine's army followed, they destroy the bridge, taking out a lot of Constantine's army.
Cowardice. He had to commit to the river, not give them a way out.
And then... Obviously,
that's why they call me the Hannibal of podcasts.
They do, because you know exactly how to fight. You know, you're a great armchair general.
True,
exactly.
I'm one of the best.
Yeah,
just like Mad Dog.
Yeah, Constantine obviously is able to push back Maxentius, and his troops begin to flee, and Maxentius flees with them. And while Maxentius's army rush and flee in a disorganized line over this bridge. The bridge collapses, and they all die, including Maxentius.
His Minecraft-ass milk crate bridge.
Yeah, and the body was never found.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's Maxentius gone.
Damn,
Constantine has suddenly gained Italy and Africa. He now owns half the empire.
What he was originally supposed to have.
Exactly. Now...
His death was fated.
Yeah. About a year later... Licinius is getting nervous. Constantine's really shown up a lot of support there. Mm. And that land that Constantine took over was supposed to be Licinius's.
Mm-hmm.
And Constantine just said, nah, I'll have it. It's fine.
It's mine now.
It's fine, yeah. It's easier. It'd be too much. Like, my troops are already here. We've already filled out the paperwork. Right? It just makes more sense.
It'd be awkward, you know?
Send to hell. If you can beat Daya, then you have the other half. And, you know, I'm not going to help you beat him, but, you know, if you beat him, you know?
Yeah.
And, So, with Licinius and Maximinus Daya, Maximinus Daya had arguably the richest territories in the empire.
Okay.
And Licinius had possibly the best trained military, but it was still smaller, significantly, than the Persian.
Beating with numbers.
Yeah, right? And long story short, because Licinius and Maximinus Daya go back and forth, Maximinus Daya flees after his third battle to Persia, but gets captured along the way and executed. Yeah, and it should be said that Maximinus Daya, after Galerius died and legalized Christianity, did a massive persecution against Christians again, just to really get it in there that, yeah, Christians suck.
It's legalized, but come on,
let's just kill more. By the way, I don't know if I said it last week, but it's approximated that in just Diocletian's first persecution, at least 25,000 Christians were murdered. And Galerius' second persecution and Maximinus' Daya's persecution were worse.
Oh.
Right? So it was pretty grim to be a Christian at that time. Yeah, for sure.
It's like when Trudeau started to support the execution of bong shop owners.
Just like that. Yeah. And, okay. So now we're in a state where Licinius now has the rich East and Constantine has the West.
Mm.
Right? It is basically split 50-50, and it was really only a matter of time until they started butting heads as well. But not right now. In 314, Jeff was around 16 years old.
Mm.
And he sat at his mother's bedside as she was dying, because the plague was also going on at this time.
Oh, damn. There's a lot going on.
And... So at the age of 16, Jeff had to watch as his mother then passed away.
damn, this guy is...
Yeah. He got news that his brother and dad died within the years of each other, and then only 4 years after that...
Watched the light fade out of his mother's eyes.
Yeah. And so Jeff grew up to be a very serious teenager.
That's fair.
Right? And he, at this point, left Carthage, because he didn't go to Italy with his dad. Mm-hmm. Right? They stayed in Carthage. He grew up in Carthage. That's where he lived. But he had nothing keeping him there anymore. Right? Yeah.
Fair.
And so he decided to listen to his mother's advice and just try and be someone who'd fight for good instead of, you know, vanity and loyalty to a usurper. Fight
for me.
And he would. He would. Jeff would fight for Constantine because that's who he decides to fight for. Mm. He, in 315, is when he joined Constantine's army. And that was, ironically, when tensions came to a head between Licinius and Constantine. Mm. Constantine had appointed his brother-in-law, Bassianus, Caesar. And in retaliation, Licinius, he elected his own Caesar. That was a man named Seneca. Right? Constantine said, hey, you're not allowed to do that. You didn't get permission. And Licinius was like, motherfucker, you didn't get permission from me to get your brother-in-law, right? This is, like, he's your brother. The guy I appointed is your brother-in-law, too. We're all brothers-in-laws here. Because at this point, Licinius is married to Constantine.
It's a whole incestuous...
Yeah, it's weird. And,
keep it in the family.
Yeah. And Licinius refused to back down on this. Constantine headed down to Cybele, we're going to call it, because I can't pronounce that. Where Licinius was. Because, and as soon as he did that, Licinius appointed another man named Caesar, a man named Valens. Right?
Valens,
yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And in 316 is when their armies met. And Jeff is in this battle.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Constantine had around 20,000 men, while Licinius had around 35,000 men.
Well, 20,000 men and one Jeff.
Right? And that's what I think Licinius didn't account for.
Obviously. Right?
And Licinius would know who this Jeff was, it should be said. Remember, Jeff 7 was bodyguards with Licinius?
Yes.
So everyone here does know each other. This is still the rich of Rome, right? Like getting
spatting
together.
With the rich of Rome.
Yeah. The battle opened up with Constantine deploying his troops on a mountain slope. But he also realized that he couldn't stay on this slope because there was terrain in front of it that was just, you couldn't have a battle on there. Mm-hmm. So Constantine had to go down the hill through this really, really bad terrain to get to a flat part where he could meet Licinius. Mm. And Licinius also knew that. So he wanted to stop Constantine from being able to even get off the mountain.
Ah.
Yeah. Jeff was part of the cavalry at this time, by the way, it should be stated. He joined the cavalry.
Runs in the
family. Usually the rich in Rome do join the cavalry. It's, for the most part, safer. It's not, in theory, but yeah. Licinius wanted to disrupt Constantine's line, so he sent infantry forward to be on the edge of the bad terrain so that Constantine didn't have a place to form. Mm-hmm. But Constantine did have a plan for this. He sent his cavalry with Jeff to harass the line as it was trying to move up to block the slopes, right? And then Constantine would send slingers. So they're just people who slings. Exactly. That was the main... Romans didn't really have archers like they did, but they used slingers more.
Yeah.
Just hurling rocks. And they were really effective. Their range was farther as well than archers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, because it's a small projectile, and you could sling it. You can put a hole through someone with one of those, right? So it's pretty brutal.
Rocks to the head's gotta hurt.
Now, once Constantine's forces were able to make it off the bad terrain, because Jeff's and the cavalry were harassing them, that's when the cavalry retreated, and the two lines of infantry would meet. Hours of close combat would take place when everyone was exhausted. Constantine rallied, not rallied, but he got the cavalry. He led it personally with Jeff in there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they went and surrounded and hit the back line of Licinius's force, which began to break them.
Mm.
Yeah. This charge was decisive, and Licinius's army fled. As much as 20,000 of Licinius's army was killed in this battle. Damn. Only about 15,000 survived. And we don't really know Constantine's losses, but we know they weren't crazy amount.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
The KDA was in his favor.
But this battle was not as decisive as it seemed, because Licinius didn't lose much. He didn't lose many territory at all, and he still had backup armies.
Mm-hmm.
35,000 is not a lot, especially in Roman times, right?
Yeah, yeah. When you have battles of like 35 million going on.
So, but a brief peace did come from this. But it only lasted a few months before Constantine and Licinius would meet again in a battle.
Oh.
This time it was Licinius and his the Caesar Valens against Constantine, and we'll say Jeff. He was there too.
He was there.
And he was probably he wasn't like a random guy on the cavalry. He was probably like a
like moderately minor ranked, officer, kind of like, known. Yeah, yeah.
He probably like you know.
But he wasn't like leading it.
But he's also quite young, right? Yeah. Like he's I don't even think he's 20 yet.
Yeah.
Right. Or like so. Yeah. And they would meet at the basin of the Aridus River in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Not another river.
Yeah. Well, less is known about this battle, but both lines met, and it was a fierce battle. We know that Jeff was still in the cavalry, so we're like he's not in this just slog of an infantry battle.
Mm-hmm.
And both sides inflicted heavy casualties.
Okay.
Right? Constantine sent a small detachment of his army with the cavalry around Licinius. You'd think he'd learn, right? And
surely he won't try it again.
Yeah, surely he won't try it again.
Now that I'm aware of his tricks, I won't plan for them.
Because exactly. Do them. Exactly. Why would you do the same thing twice? I'm obviously not a fool.
Do you know the definition of insanity, Constantine? My good friend Albert Einstein here.
Seeing how Constantine brought one or two legions into Italy to beat Maxentius when he had a whole army and still won. we'll see. And the cavalry and the infantry hit the back of Licinius's army. But Licinius did prepare for this because he held some of his veteran troops back.
All right.
And when Constantine's line hit from the back...
Hey.
Sorry, I'm five.
What's up, Constantine?
Yeah. So after Constantine hit Licinius from the back, Licinius had another thing coming for him.
Hey, right? Damn right he did.
And but despite this, Licinius's army began to falter still.
Mm.
But this time, Licinius was able to retreat very nicely and in order, right? And Constantine,
he spent all his time planning the retreat instead of the actual battle. Now, so if they come from the side, well, our escape route is here, here, and here.
If they hit us from the back, it'll be there, right? Why are you laughing? it was a victory for Constantine, but again, he's just not been able to beat Licinius. Like, to capture him or beat him in a decisive battle, that would actually make a difference. At this point, a peace treaty was signed, though. And part of the Danube area was given to Constantine.
All right.
Right? Now, it wasn't for another 7 years until this peace was once again broken. At this stage, Jeff was definitely a higher... Like
30-something.
He's about 26 right now.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was born in like 290-something.
Yeah, in 224, Constantine and Licinius were about to fight in the biggest battle either of them have ever fought.
All right.
Yeah. Constantine had about 130,000 troops.
People. Yep.
While Licinius had 165,000 troops. Right? So this is a massive battle. And the battle lines were drawn. But Constantine had to cross a river.
Oh, fuck off.
In order to get there.
So they sent the cavalry around the side. You had planned for this.
Well, Constantine decided he was going to build a bridge right in front of Licinius's army.
Ooh.
Very loudly build this bridge. and have everyone say, oh, let's build this bridge. Which bridge? Oh, the one over here? Yeah, let's build this bridge.
The bridge
right
across
here.
The river in front of Licinius' army, yes, so we can fight Licinius' army.
Exactly.
Yes, the bridge. Yeah.
After we cross this bridge, right? And Licinius didn't know, somehow, that Constantine was building another bridge up 2 miles up the river. Yeah, a secret bridge.
Ooh.
And was going to hope to cross that bridge at night.
Secret bridge
and
in Cusco
set up a
matter.
Line before. Yeah. Jeff went over to the secret bridge to look around. And that's a nice secret bridge.
That's a cool secret bridge.
And then Jeff also realized, wait a second, this bridge is supposed to be classified. I'm not supposed to know about this, right? Like, this is not great. Constantine wants this to be a secret. So Jeff's like, okay, I just got to get back because, like, I just can't be caught here, really. And so he headed back to the camp quickly. But en route, he was spotted by a group of soldiers. Yes.
Oh, no.
They approached him and accused him of being a spy for Licinius.
Ooh.
And Jeff protested, saying, like, no, like, obviously, like, dude, I've, like, literally fought Licinius, like, twice. Like, I was in the cavalry. We hit Licinius from the back twice. Together, dude.
Why would you think I'm a spy for Licinius?
Exactly.
I hit him from the back twice,
exactly.
Dude.
Like, Mike, like, yeah.
I'm talking.
Yeah, it was amazing, right? It was, honestly, I think it was my charge into that back that broke him to begin with. You know? We broke the back of his army with that rut.
Obviously.
I'm
talking every soldier, just bam, bam,
bam.
Bam,
bam. Yeah, there's a reason they had to run, you know? But they wouldn't listen. Jeff was arrested on the spot.
Ah, shit.
After only a few days, Jeff was sentenced and executed by beheading.
Ah.
As being a traitor to Constantine.
Damn, that's...
At the age of 26, Jeff the Youngest was executed, thought to be a traitor to Constantine the Great. All right, he did stuff.
He did stuff, he did stuff.
Yeah, all right, so I think, yeah, let's rank him. I think we have more to discuss than his
little
brother.
A little bit more.
Phidias
Trophianus.
He fought good. In two battles. Both
one,
of them
two
had
well, he fought in three.
He fought in two battles. That
I guess
last
the third one was the
yet.
Pre. It was the yeah. It was the foreplay.
It's like Jeff 2 saying he fought in the battle of where that captured
Seleucia,
but he died when they were setting up the siege.
At least he died of like consequences of the battle.
Yeah.
Not other things.
No, but he definitely won two battles, and it was definitely those two cavalry charges that he was a part of.
He was like
that,
critical to it.
That led.
Yeah,
for them to be a victory, right?
Or like he wasn't personally, but like his unit was.
Yeah, but he was in that unit personally, right? So he's not just like commanding it from the back, right?
Yeah,
like Jeff 4, right? But
he was hitting it from the back.
Yeah, he was hitting it from the back, and it's pretty good. Both are victories, but it should be said, I think this is more for Constantine than for Jeff, but neither of those victories were decisive.
Mm.
Like. And I think
the first
Jeff's,
one was pretty.
Yeah, they fled, but it didn't do much damage to Licinius as like his whole empire.
Ah,
side,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Like it was just a nothing battle, but still, I think you have to count both of them as victories because they were.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it doesn't matter if they weren't. That's Constantine's issue that they weren't.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff's just won two battles. Bad. He got executed because they thought he was a traitor trying to give plans about the battle, but I don't know if we can count that really.
Yeah, it's
him,
not really him being bad at fighting. It's him being somewhere he shouldn't be.
Yeah, and getting real unlucky.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind
that's
of
for a,
different
category.
Yeah, it's a big contrast between the two brothers, too. Because one was definitely his own fault, and the other one was definitely not his fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it was just, yeah.
Shouldn't have been there, all I'm saying.
It's all right, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know, like a...
Five is fine with me. Yeah, I'm going with five. You know, it didn't impress me.
I can rock with a five. That feels fair.
That's a 10 out of 20. I get that. He fought in battles, and he was in those battles.
He doesn't beat any of the, like, real Jeffs.
He beats Jeff 1 and Jeff 2.
Yeah, so like I said, none of the real Jeffs.
Which is fair. And he also is 1 point away from beating his brother. So let's see. But to be fair, let's see.
He was already older than his brother, so we already actually know.
Yeah, yes, he is. Okay.
Opprobrium idiom.
Only one thing I can think of he shouldn't have been at the bridge. That was his own, like, he should have realized. It was dumb. But if that's like the only thing, I'm giving him a one. Like, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's
20 at once.
Nothing, like, really.
Being dumb.
Yeah, there's not really a ton.
No. And then everything else, it's like, he's had to deal with, like, a lot of death around him.
Yeah, yeah. He was a very, like, probably a very, like, calculating person.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, maybe he could have got up to semantics, but he was like,
yeah,
no, this is
Yeah, something tells me he was a very serious guy who got, just, you know,
yeah.
I don't think I'd want to have a drink with him.
yeah.
You know?
Because it would be the first time he's ever had
any a drink.
Alcohol ever.
I don't know.
I'll give him like a 0.5.
Yeah, I'll give him a 0.5 as well then. Because I think he deserves only one. But also, he's actually tied his brother now. Cool. Successes Jeffies. Now, this one's also weird because he technically didn't do anything that was great. But he did, like Constantine knew who he was. He was in charge of a cavalry thing. He definitely, his name was out there. And he was definitely
It was like a pretty average life.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm okay giving a few points for this.
Yeah.
Like maybe two or three.
I was thinking three.
Three, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll do three as well. Fuck it. Like,
yeah.
He's just that guy, isn't he?
As long as he beats one and two, I'm happy.
Yeah, we'll see.
All the other ones, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, Tempus Egeo. He died at 26, which is still the second youngest time of Jeff died, because Jeff 3 died, I believe. Jeff 2 died at, I think, 33 or 32?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, like, so that would be 26 divided by 100, divided by 20?
20, be like 1.3 or something.
By 20. 1.3, you killed that. 1.3. And then Jefferson. He got executed.
He got executed. I mean, executed, like,
it's fine.
Is cool, but...
three.
It's no... It's no. This is the one category where his brother might have the upper hand.
Definitely, I definitely prefer his brother's death. And then even if you go to Jeff 4, he was not executed. He was killed in battle. Jeff 3 was not executed. Jeff 2. This is the first real execution. If you don't think Jeff 7 got executed.
Jeff 1.
Jeff 1 got executed. But yeah, okay. What did we give Jeff 1? 2.75. Except this doesn't have the story of him killing a slave master.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a bit more tragic, though.
It is. His life is tragic.
Yeah.
I.
It's like it's like very, a very fitting death. It's not a death like yo.
Yeah, it's like his whole
it's
life.
It's like
that's
sad. That's a fitting end to this stoic Jeff.
And especially since he got drilled into his mind that he has to, like, not be like his dad, and the way he would have died would have been him dying like his dad.
Mm.
Right, so he tried so hard to just be a normal soldier and just be a guy who would be loyal.
He was just a guy. He just wanted to be a guy.
Executed for being disloyal, even though he never was to begin with.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe there is a story there.
Yeah. Even then though, like it's not really.
Yeah,
I'm going
for four.
I'm gonna go
with four.
I'll go with a five.
A five. So that's a nine divided by four.
The scene in my head of, like, the execution is cool enough where I'm like, yeah sure.
2.25, which is, yeah, like, Jeff 1 got 2.75
and
I think that execution was, like, the whole slave thing was better.
Yeah.
And that does give him a score. I think he's in the 20s club.
14. No,
17.55. Yeah, that looks correct. That is a 17.55. He does beat Jeff 2. And he does beat his brother, but he does not beat Jeff 1.
All right, perfect.
Because Jeff 1 got quite a bit for opprobrium idiom.
Yeah.
5-5. Cool. And then that leads us to a question. Does he deserve to go to the family?
Ooh. And is it a question, though?
No.
Are there... Well, is it a question, though?
Okay. Well, like, let's see what he... Well, what's going for him, right? Tragic life... Fought in two battles, died.
It's. I think I'm just going, like, well, does he deserve anything worse in his life?
I honestly think it'll be cruel to put him through the rounds. Because he'll be immediately killed by them.
Yeah.
Right? Will. Like, it's
what, more... Well, what if he goes up against Jeff 1?
I would take... I don't know if I'd take Jeff 1 over him. But the thing is when we do the rounds, there's going to be at least three or four people per tournament, and one or two people is going to go through. If Jeff won and Jeff the youngest are in that round, the other two are default going through. So I think we just
get it over with now.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were just executed, and now you will be burnt alive, castrated. But like, if you think about it, your life was already pretty shit. So like, just deal with it.
Yeah, he's probably...
I do like how we reincarnate them just to kill them again.
Yeah.
But he was already sad. Like, he'd already have a sad face, so...
He's like, all right. Yeah.
Now, that's not where we're done, though.
All right.
Because I do want to go over the Franks, the Vandals, and the Goths with you.
All right.
Now, each one's going to get more, like, vague, kind of, because...
Okay.
The Franks, I'm going to go up until, like, late... past the Romans, past everything.
Okay.
And then the Vandals, I'm going to be going a little bit just before the fall of the West. And the Goths, I'm going to be going up to basically where we're at now.
Okay.
Yeah, just because its importance is, right? The Franks aren't really important into our story until another, like, 600 years. We first hear about the Franks in the crisis of the 3rd century. First time ever. And they weren't a unified people, but they were, like, just, like, a little... like a blob.
They were just hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, some people call them a confederation, but a lot of historians prefer to call them a tribal swarm. Tribal swarm being, in times of war, the tribes will come together and become a confederation, but then they'll break apart and they'll, like, be just a swarm, a group. They also fight for themselves in their own groups against, right? Which is why they fail a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you would. But collectively,
confederation of states.
All of these tribes had different names, but when they unified, they collectively became the Franks.
So they believe in tribal tribe rights.
Well, it was because all of the leaders' names were Frank. So that's why, right? Yeah.
Catalus Frankianus.
Yeah, that's the next. That's the series four.
There we go.
In the Chronicle of Fredgar. Very nice.
I try my best.
In the Chronicle of Fredgar, it was a medieval history of France. It has a more legendary account of the Frankish beginnings.
Yes.
Right? Now, they trace their origins back to the Trojan War.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the war that the Romans said they also came from? Everyone ties their lineage back to the Trojans if they can. Which is, like... I'm sorry, but it's complete nonsense.
Oh.
And there's no reason. There's no way this happened.
They're cool.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, there's just no factual base for this. The myth is King Priam led his 12,000 Trojans, refugees, to Pannonia after the Trojan battle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they settled down. While a different leader went farther to the Rhine River, and his name was Francio. Which is quite Italian for 4,000 years ago. But you know what? It's fine.
Francio?
Yeah, the interesting thing about King Priam is he is said to have had 68 sons and 18 daughters.
Damn.
Yes.
Man's got around.
The only two notable children are Hector and Paris. They are the two main people in the Trojan War. If you've seen Troy, the film, they're going to be the two brothers in that.
I haven't, but this feels like a myth somebody in Paris.
The Trojan War is a myth. There are some people who believe it actually happened. I personally don't, because it's just, it happened in the Dark Bronze Age collapse, and we just don't have any real sources there. And we don't even know where Troy is today, where that battle would have been taking place. Mm. We have like estimated guesses. It's definitely on the coast of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was in Syria, to be fair, but I only found out a few years ago that it was Turkey. More likely, this is a later invention because they wanted to be able to tie their lineage similar to the Romans, right? More likely, the Franks were a Germanic people who originated in the Lower Rhine River, so modern-day Germany-ish, right? And they really began to move into the empire during the Great Migration. A time of Roman history which is usually credited of happening between 300 and 700 AD. So it's like a 500-year period or 400-year period where a lot of people are moving. It also helps mark a transition between Europe from 300 to 700 because that is when late antiquity ends and the Middle Ages start.
Oh, okay.
Right, the Middle Ages start around 400,
it's when
500.
The first castle appears.
Well, like in 480 or maybe 520, Aurelius Aureolus would declare himself king in England.
Sounds like somebody who panicked that they didn't have a last name to write down on a sheet and just went, "
Aureolus.
They like looked around and just saw them like writing their first name. Aureolus.
Aureolus.
Ah, is that where the cookies come from?
No. But it is where the myth of King Arthur comes from.
Oh, shit.
Because people do think that Aurelius Aureolus is King Arthur.
Okay.
But he was obviously Roman because when King Arthur was around, if he was ever around, Britain would have been heavily Romanized. Mm. Heavily Romanized. The Romans only left about 30 years earlier.
Mm.
Right? Or maybe even, okay, it was like 100 years earlier, but that's still a long time, right?
A few hundred years.
So Aurelius Aureolus is seen as one of the main contenders to have been
King Arthur.
King Arthur, right? And that's like where, that's how you know, like, that's when Middle Ages is kind of around, right?
Yeah, yeah. There were castles and knights, and it was just like Dark Souls, really.
It really was. Well, that's how the origins of Dark Souls started, right?
Yo, Dark Souls reference!
Historian Patrick J. Geary says, Franks knew little about their background, and that they may have felt some sort of inferiority in comparison to the other peoples of antiquity, who possessed an ancient name and glorious tradition. I think this is, like, the most BS shit I've ever heard. I'm sorry, but who thinks like, are you kidding me? Who thinks like that? He says they knew little about their background, so felt some sort of inferiority.
Well,
the entire group of Franks felt inferior because they didn't have a long line. That's just not how people are, really. They don't really feel inferior over.
Yeah, and like, inferior feels like the wrong word to
have
been
like,
used
I'm
there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not all sitting in their tents tonight like, man, we suck compared to them, right? Like, bam. Mm-hmm. It sucks to be us. I wish we weren't Franks. I wish we were people like the Goths. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like you don't. You don't end up like that. It's just like, damn. What the fuck?
I think maybe they didn't have much history. So this guy who made this history book like 25 years ago is just talking out of his ass.
Eh.
But that's a lot of historians, to be fair.
Hey.
The Franks.
Yo, shots fired. Let's go, Mike Duncan. You too.
Good thing he'll never listen to this.
Yeah, we're good.
I can't believe he didn't reply back to us on
Twitter.
I'm
kidding. I love revolutions. Okay.
The Franks were among the first groups to become Christian under the reign of Clovis I.
Another L for France.
Yeah. The Franks would take advantage of the Roman suffering during the 3rd century, but would eventually be defeated by Maximian and Jeff, and eventually by Constantine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, Constantine captured a bunch of the kings of the Franks and forced them to fight in an arena against beasts in Trier, which is actually funny.
Now, is it like, what's his fuck with the club who would...
No, we're not... Yeah, Commodus.
Commodus.
No. Yeah, Constantine is a successful Commodus, I could say. I think we should say.
Okay, okay.
Because he did actually make a new empire. Because with Constantine... This is when people say the Byzantine Empire is crazy.
Yeah, and Constantine again, like, it's a yep. name I've heard before.
Yeah,
so
it's one of the few names. Yeah,
you did something.
Well, it's because he
relevant.
Is if you like, he is the most impactful Roman in history.
Okay,
he is the reason that we live in a predominantly Christian monotheistic world today.
Oh,
because
wow,
if
fuck
it was, yeah, no, for sure, right? And it's also because of him that Christianity became how it's turning into today.
Mm.
Because before him, it was all about the original, like, a Donatist, which we'll get into eventually next week probably, the leader of the Donatist, was like, what does religion have to do with the government? Right? And he was obviously killed for that. But,
as
you know, like,
be.
But like, again, that it's,
the answer
it's a
is
thing
everything
that at the time people thought of, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Constantine changed Christianity a lot. And a lot of people agree that it's primarily for the worst.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's also why I don't like Constantine, but he has to be in my top five greatest emperors because of his impact on the world.
It's like naming Hitler person of the year sort of thing.
Constantine is more of a saint. He's literally called Saint Constantine.
Oh.
And he led us, and he created Constantinople, which became the beacon for Christianity for
I just mean, like, you putting him in his top five great empire emperors, despite the fact he wasn't...
I would argue it's more similar to say to people who argue that Hitler wasn't a great conqueror.
Mm.
He's very clearly up there with a lot of the greats that we talk about, but because he was on the evil side, the bad side, we ignore it. But in reality, he's one of the greatest empire builders that we've seen, right? Yeah. It just lost because the entire world went against him, right? Mm. That's what had to take him down. Not many people had that. The only other two people I could think of where the whole world had to band together were Napoleon and Genghis.
I was going to say, like, Genghis Khan. Right? Napoleon?
Napoleon, too. Yeah, he had all of the Europe under his control as well.
Okay, right? I was just going to say, was that the whole world or, like, all of Europe?
All of Europe. Europe.
Which, I mean, world. At the Come time, on. You can...
Yeah. See, eventually the Romans would give Frank some land on the border of the Rhine River, to a little buffer state.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
All right, fine, fine.
Oh my god, sorry, excuse me.
All good.
The Franks would be a massive part of the Roman army in the 4th and 5th centuries as the Romans became less and less willing to fight in their own armies, mm-hmm. and they started hiring a lot of mercenaries. So we're about to enter an age where there are no Romans in the armies, it is just the barbarian factions.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, mercenaries, right? Which does have its knock-on effects that we'll see coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people give it one of the main reasons why the Roman Empire fell, because they were led. They were just not working. They had no real reason to protect Rome when it got really bad.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It's like PMCs.
Yeah. The Franks would eventually be crushed briefly by a certain tribe that swept the region in the late 4th to 5th century that I was thinking of covering today, but we will have a whole time to cover that faction later.
The Quebecois?
Yeah. This would eventually prove bad, since when the Roman Empire fell, the Franks looked around Gaul and said, you know what? I like this place.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right here.
I can still hear the cries of the innocent from Caesar.
Exactly. the Franks would eventually fully unify over the course of a couple hundred years when a man named Charlemagne was declared emperor of the Romans.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Western Roman Empire was rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
But they called it something else. They called it the Holy Roman Empire.
Okay. Yeah.
And now...
Because everyone is Christian at this point, right?
Yes. Now, Charlemagne would then proceed to stop the Islamic conquest that was heading through Spain into Europe. And with what happens in Byzantine Rome at this time, with the current emperor there stopping the Islamic conquest there, and Charlemagne stopping them in here... People say that saved Europe from becoming saved. It stopped Europe from being fully Islamic, right?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and it was because of Charlemagne and another... Well, because they were cutting through the world like a hot knife through anything soft.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was nothing that was stopping them. They were converting everybody to... And if they beat Charlemagne and or Constantine, a certain Constantine at the time... We would have most likely, honestly, been living in a predominantly Islamic Europe today, right? So there are those type of things, right? But that's obviously disputed. Some people say that would have never happened, but the world would have definitely looked different.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Eventually, the empire would split as Charlemagne's successors had a hard time holding everything together, and one part would turn into France, and the other part would turn into Germany and or the Holy Roman Empire, which would last until Germany was created, right? Eventually, this Frankish group would turn into one of, if not the most influential and successful empires that have ever been created. Mm. Because, arguably, I know people talk about the Romans and Genghis and British, but you have to count the French up there when it comes to world impact and world conquest.
Yeah, yeah.
They were definitely one of the big empire builders.
Yeah, yeah. Right? What would it be like Britain?
Yeah,
like France was kind
what
of
they
the,
were right.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, no, and the French,
the French.
they took over after over the Portuguese and Spanish, right? Like so, that whole coast was kind
now
of
they've been
yeah
down to Bloc Québécois.
Exactly.
Le Bloc, c'est pas le wokisme.
Now, that's our, that's our little introduction tweet on the Franks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Next, the Vandals.
That's cooler.
The Vandals are an American punk band that established themselves in 1980 in Orange County, California. Sorry. The Vandals were a Germanic people who first inhabited around the southern...
Whose descendants are a punk rock band established in 1980 in Orange County, California.
Yeah. So they were a Germanic people who first inhabited most likely southern Poland, or from another source, Scandinavia, from Sweden, around that region, right? They were mentioned first by Pliny the Elder. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Oh, fuck yeah.
The man who ran towards a volcano with a pillow on his head and thought that it wouldn't kill him.
Isn't he the guy who, like, knows everything?
Yeah, he's
the dick.
Oh, there's also
Shout outs to Sawbones. Well,
there's also, it might also be Pliny the Younger, because there's two of them.
Oh, interesting.
But Pliny the Elder did die in Pompeii.
Ah.
Because he ran towards the volcano
with
a pillow over his head, hoping that it wouldn't kill him.
And it worked, weirdly enough. Yeah. He just so happened to also die in Pompeii.
He didn't. Yeah. The name Vandal meant the wanderers, right? But would eventually become synonymous for careless destruction based around their violent behavior against Rome in the 5th century, right? That is where the modern word Vandal comes from, from the Vandals, this tribe.
That's cool.
Yeah. They are mentioned in the Marcomannic Wars under Marcus Aurelius, so when he fought the Alemanni and the Marcomanni. We didn't really cover it because we were with Lucius in the east.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we didn't really cover Marcus Aurelius too much. And he let them settle in Dacia, so above the Danube River. That, remember the part I told you that Aurelian let go?
Yes.
That's where he settled them to try and, like, another buffer state.
Like, kind of appease.
Yeah. The Vandals would invade the Rhine River around 277 with the Burgundians, who were defeated by Emperor Probus. Mm-hmm. If you remember, he defeated all of those groups.
Yes, yeah.
It was also said at this time that some of the Vandals fled to Britain. But we also don't know much about this. And they would have just mingled with the Romans at the time there, or the Picts and Scots that were there, right? Around 330, which is where we are exactly picking it up next week.
Well, no, it's 1244, actually.
Oh, yes, my bad. Around 330, the Vandals were confined to the border of Pannonia by the Goths, who were pushing into the region. Eventually, Constantine would allow them to settle on the border once again, trying to create a buffer state, but it didn't last. They would constantly raid into Roman territory throughout the next 3rd and 4th century. Sorry, 4th and 5th century. The Vandals would eventually be crushed briefly by a certain tribe in the late 4th and 5th century. Again, we'll get to them.
There we go. Foreshadowing is a narrative device.
In the wake of the tribe, the Vandals moved into Spain. So this is stuff we will be covering, but there's going to be so much at the time to cover that we will not have time to really get into it, because there will be another group at the time that we'll have to focus on more.
Yeah.
And the Jeffs around this time, we also don't have a lot of information on what we're going to be covering. So we're going to be kind of...
We'll have some time.
Yeah. So in the wake of the Vandals moving into Spain, they then went into Africa and took over Carthage. Mm-hmm. And they created a Vandal kingdom there.
Oh,
that
cool.
That would survive 100 years.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. It did begin to fall apart and they were eventually all erased. I personally think that history underrates the Vandals, especially when it comes to people who are the reason that Rome falls.
Yeah.
Usually it's credited that this group that I'm foreshadowing and the Goths are the main reasons, but I would argue that...
I thought the Goths was the group you were foreshadowing.
No.
All right. Shows you what I know.
Yeah, and usually the Goths and the Barbarians are credited, but the Vandals were a force to be reckoned with, and they're the only ones who actually carved out a substantial kingdom that the Romans had to spend over 100 years trying to get back until they eventually get it back.
Okay.
Under a man named Justinian.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes. Now we are getting into the Goths.
All right, let's go!
The Goths probably originated in southern Scandinavia, region at some point, mm-hmm. probably listening to thrash heavy metal
Good.
And wearing black eyeliner.
Inventors of eyeliner.
Oh, they were, yeah. Some people believed the Goths might have also been Eastern steppe nomads, coming from similar to like what Genghis Khan would be.
Yeah, which was basically another word for weeb.
Yeah. But otherwise known as Scythians, but probably not. This is only believed because they lived in the Black Sea region.
Oh, edgy.
Yeah, that's where they got the makeup from. That's where they started making it. But eventually, so they believe that because they settled in the Black Sea region after they migrated from Scandinavia, that this is where they might have been steppe nomads. But it's likely just BS.
Fair.
Some historians discount that the Goths even went to the Black Sea region at all.
Oh.
Well, we'll ignore that. They definitely did.
Yeah, they did.
It wouldn't really be believable that they migrated from the rich forests of Poland to the poorer steppes of the Ukraine, right? Like, it's not a logical thing that someone would do, which is their argument against it, right?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, but also I would argue that they wouldn't know they were going to the weak, shitty area of Ukraine, right? So, like, they were just migrating. Pliny the Elder, it's the second time we're mentioning him. Yeah, would mention them in the histories as the
Gatunes. Oh, Pliny was a Goth fan.
Yeah, they mentioned them as the Gatunes.
Another dub for Pliny.
The Gatunos? No, he's not, because he called them the Gatunes, not the Goths. So he's actually anti-Goth.
Is Gatunas just a cooler word for Goths?
No. We do think they come from the same word, but there's also arguments that this is just a different group of people. Obviously, this time there's a lot of arguments. He was
Goth racist, actually. Yeah. Damn. Pliny, no.
Yeah. Although it does make sense because the Gatunes disappear as the Goths appear.
Mm.
So rather the Goths swept them aside, or they assimilated, or they're just different people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The Goths were pushed west because of eventually the Goths were pushed west because a certain barbarian group at the time in the 4th and 5th century
mm-hmm.
was wiping the floor, and briefly the Goths were annihilated, but they had to go into the Romans and completely side with the Romans.
Oh shit.
In order to beat this group coming in.
It's like when you have to walk out of Hot Topic and like go to the rest of the mall.
Yeah. Exactly. Cuz Hot Topic is the most important part of the mall.
Yeah.
They pushed most of the barbarian tribes in Europe against the Roman borders, the Vandals and the Alans. The Alans we're going to get into it soon. Mm-hmm. The podcast says all the Alans just wear white button-up shirts and have like a pen dispenser, and their names are Alan. And they're all working office buildings.
Hi, I'm Alan.
Hi, I'm Alan.
Hi, I'm Alan.
I have my pocket protector here.
But then their handshake like crushes your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we'll get into the Alans a lot more because they will stick with us in the next few centuries. They've been in the story. I just haven't had a reason to mention them yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of my favorite barbarian groups.
Okay.
Yeah. In the crisis of the 3rd century, it was pretty mixed for the barbarians. It started off pretty damn good because they defeated the Roman Emperor Decius in battle, being the first barbarian group to defeat a Roman Emperor in battle.
Not half bad.
Yep. Where he died in battle as well.
Ah, okay.
I mean, sorry, first group to defeat where the Emperor also died.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
They also invaded multiple areas, not finding much success. So they invaded Turkey through the Black Sea. They invaded the Danube and the Rhine River. But because of people like Gallienus, Odenathus, Claudius II, and Aurelian, they were pushed back and destroyed multiple times.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they gave it their all.
The Romans and Goths after Constantine coexisted with each other for the most part. A few wars began, and they were fought unsuccessfully, kind of by both sides. And the Goths were eventually crushed by a certain barbarian tribe that was swept in the late for century. Once the Western Roman Empire fell, I just skipped basically from 350 to around 550.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 500.
Yeah, yeah.
Once the Western Roman Empire fell, the Goths were in an amazing spot to take over Italy. And in the 6th century, the Lombards, who were a group at the time, delivered the finishing blow to the Goths.
Hmm.
And after, because at this time, I didn't get to the economy, but that's as fun. You can tell, it's a pretty long episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Lombards mopped up because at this stage the Romans invaded Italy again, because at this point they lost Italy and they recaptured it. But
yeah.
After a weakened Italy and a weakened Goth and a weakened Roman Empire in Italy, the Lombards came over.
They
and
decided their
over
vacation
the
was
thing.
Done and right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That was all right.
And yeah, so but we will be getting to know the Vandals and the Goths a lot more, especially now, because the time where the Goths really come into our story is right now.
Okay.
So pretty much every Jeff for the next
five, 6
Jeffs.
Wow, Bailey, what excellent timing on your part to tie in learning about them while they're about to become relevant to the narrative.
Yeah, it's almost like...
Shocking, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's almost like foreshadowing, is it?
How convenient that these two things happen to line up at nearly the exact same time.
Also, I forgot to show you our man, Jeff the youngest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's an ugly man.
Yeah, that's not... oof.
Yeah. But that's
he had it rough. I can't blame him.
Yeah,
he had
like,
it rough.
This is a man. Look at those eyes.
That's
he can't tell if he's angry or really upset.
Yeah. Because he's constantly both at all times.
Yeah. All right. Okay, now, this does leave me with one thing.
Oh, yeah?
The Jeffianus dynasty is done.
Ooh.
We are done with the Jeffianus dynasty. We are going into the Jeffi.
We've done it.
Which is the Byzantine Jeffs now. And this is also known as the greatest dynasty. It might not start off that good, but it does get
real
good.
We'll get there.
And,
it kind of hits the reset button.
Does. Yeah. And it'll be quite good. Both of my favorite Jeffs are in this dynasty.
All right. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'll tell you after we're done the episode.
All right. No, fair.
Well, you obviously know Jeff the Great, the 19th is my favorite. But there's another one that you don't know.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
And so, yeah, we could say goodbye to...
goodbye to the first Jeffs. Dynasty.
We will see them again at the end.
All right.
When we do it. Well, we won't
and we'll see a fair amount of them,
too. Yeah, we won't see the two younger, the younger and the youngest, and we won't see Jeff 2, but we will see Jeff 1, and then we'll see Jeff 3.
We won't see Jeff 1 for long.
No, we won't, but he'll be there.
But, you know, overall, it feels like a pretty successful dynasty.
It is. And for the next dynasty being the one that's like the great dynasty, I definitely think there's going
to
be more
momentum.
Yeah. And with the loud banging in the background going,
there you go. How fitting.
I think we just have to do the closing stuff. Anything else you want to add?
No, that'll be about it. My apologies for the episode being late. Last week, I was just out like a fucking light for a week, and couldn't get shit done.
No one noticed. It's fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
We didn't get any angry emails.
Perfect. Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, that's all.
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook, the Totals Groupium chat. Yeah, there's a lot of us in there. All the Rexy Pod group. And also in Totalis Rankium's Discord group. And then also on X.
On Twitter.
Twitter.
At Pax Americus, PAXAMERICUS. Or you can follow our individual Twitters. Mine is at Alsatoric, ALSATOREC. Or
mine is BA Fawcett, FAWCETT. And if you drop that pen one more time in this recording session.
That's fine.
And I think that's it for both of us.
Well, otherwise you can follow the podcast on Podbean.
iTunes/Apple thing.
Apple Podcasts.
Stitcher's going out this month, so we could stay Stitcher all month. Not on Stitcher. You cannot
Don't worry,
to us
not
on
there.
Stitcher.
We're not
if
there.
If you're listening
you don't
on
have to
Stitcher,
jump ship. You have to go somewhere else in the first place.
And if you are listening to us on Stitcher, how? But
we'll need the information of the feed you're getting that from.
Exactly.
They're stealing our copyright
and then if anyone really cares, if we put it on YouTube, we're still like
Google Podcasts and Spotify are the other main two, and then
we're still thinking
will
about YouTube.
Likely go on YouTube at some point. I just don't have time in my life.
Yeah, and no one will watch on YouTube. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Do you think this is a good idea? A winch and a goat, Jeff? No, that's a stupid idea.